Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's time for quarter number four, the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle. And Greg, in this segment, we are going to continue our series on James Franklin's recruiting history at Penn State. We are going to look at the 2019 class. But before we do that, before we get there, we are going to announce our winner. How about that for remembering?
Pretty good job, Jim. I'll give you a lot of credit. Good job.
We are going to go with Connor in Huntington, who made us put on our thinking caps between Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley. All right, let's get to quarter number four. Greg, we've been doing the series where we've been looking at James Franklin's history of recruiting. Every year when we see a new recruiting class, you always hear the same thing. Well, you can't really judge this class now. You got to wait a few years before you pass judgment. It is because of that thought that we have been going back. It was interesting last week. We talked about James Franklin's highest-rated class, which was the 2018 class. This 2019 class, in looking back at it in its star rankings at the time, was pretty good itself. It was ranked 12th nationally, second in the Big Ten. It had 1 5-star, 17 4-stars, and 5 3-stars. At least at that time, it really had to be looked at as a pretty solid class.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So when you go back to this 2019 group, which I want to say was the last one, we mentioned Kenny Smith a few minutes ago, who's back in the Penn State recruiting room now.
You mean Kenny Kenny Saunders.
Kenny Saunders, you got it. Yep, yeah, he is, you know, I think this was the last class he helped them sign. And, yeah, this was a great one. I mean, 1 5-star in Brandon Smith, who I thought, Jim, for the first time last year, we really saw that kind of 5-star potential. You know, we didn't see it necessarily as much in 2019, I don't think. But there were moments last year where I think you could very easily say to yourself, you know what, this kid is going to be special. This kid is going to be able to get it done. This is a guy who is going to be a star. And I'm really, he might be one of the younger guys I'm most excited to watch this year and just see how he's developed in the winter and what another spring practice will do for him. But, yeah, I mean, this group was loaded. They had a total of, what, I think, 6 players in the top 120 of the 247 Sports composite. John Dunmore, who, of course, has since transferred, I believe, to FAU or FIU, one of those Florida schools. He's back in the Sunshine State. He was number 120 overall. Didn't necessarily work out, but outside of that, you had Noah Kanadice, Isaac, Caden Wallace, and Devin Ford, who were all top 100 players, in addition, of course, to Brandon Smith. And, yeah, this is a group we're going to start to really see, I think, hit their stride this year. Isaac's supposed to be a starter. We've seen Wallace, one of the better, I think, offensive lineman Penn State has. You know, with Devin Ford, he's going to continue to find a role in that somewhat crowded backfield situation, you know. So that at the top of this group, you know, there were a few more 4-stars I didn't necessarily get to on the high school front. Lance Dixon, one. Obviously, we talked about him likely being transferring out of Penn State sooner rather than later. You know, Tyler Rudolph, he was a 4-star. He was top 270 out of Connecticut, and he's a guy, Jim, who I want to say this seems like a big year for him. There's no doubt about it. He has a chance to win a job. Can he put all the pieces together? We'll see. And one guy, you know, I know there's a lot more to get to, but one other 4-star in his class was Taquan Roberson, and he's learned, three different offensives now. Ricky Ronnie's in 2019, Kirk Shiraka's last year, and now he's learning Mike Yurcich's. So, you know, I think he is the, obviously, main competition for Sean Clifford, and I just don't know if I've seen enough to think he can beat Sean Clifford out, but that's what spring practice is for. That's what summer camp is for. So we'll find out before long whether or not he has, whether or not he has taken enough of a step forward to be able to, maybe somewhat surprise us and take on a bigger role than expected. But yeah, all told, this is definitely a special class this was a special class with a lot more hits than misses so far.
So far, yes, I will agree with that. And you've got a situation where this coming season will be their third year. And if ever a recruiting class is going to have its largest effect, it probably is that third year. They need to have 3 years in before they can make the jump to the NFL. So those players who are at the top end of the class, the elite, this is their year where they prove themselves for the NFL capability. For lesser recruits, perhaps, this is the time they finally matured and are ready to take that step. If you look at those big names and how many of them are going to play a major part in this season's action, Brandon Smith is the best linebacker. Caden Wallace, as you said, is coming back again as a starter. Adisa Isaac is expected to lead things on the defensive line. Noah Cain, as long as he's healthy, will be probably the lead running back. Brenton Strange is the starting tight end. And then you have all these DBs, Keaton Ellis, Joey Porter. How about Jaquan Brisker, who I know came the junior college route, Marquise Wilson, even Daquan Hardy.
Right.
That defensive backfield is just loaded with players from this class. So this is their time, right?
Yeah, Penn State certainly better hope it is, right, Jim? Because, you know, if not, then they're in for a bit of a problem at a number of positions this year. But, yeah, I mean, Hakeem Beamon's a guy who, you know, when we go to the second half of this class, Hakeem Beamon's a guy who I think we're all expecting to take a jump this year and saw some nice things from him. You know, Keaton Ellis, I'll be interested, Jim, to see what his role is this year, because remember, he didn't play all that much early last season, and then he played a ton down the stretch when they didn't really have a whole lot else at corner because of some injuries. So where's he at this year? Time will tell. Joey Porter Jr., is it safe to say, Jim, that he was the most underrated player in this class? And I know it's weird to say about a four-star, but number 324 in the country. So far, I would be willing to bet that if you re-rank this based on college production to date in this cycle, Jim, he's a top 100 guy, and I don't think there's any question about it. He's been really good. You know, Jaquan Brisker was in this class. It was big to get him back into a starting role. Brenton Strange is going to step into a starting role, presumably this year. Him and Theo Johnson probably 1A and 1B, so to speak, with Pat Freiermuth now off to the NFL draft. Michael Johnson Jr. transferred. T.J. Jones transferred. We're hoping to see more of Marquise Wilson, Smith Vilbert, and Joseph Darkwa this year, but time will tell. As you mentioned, Daquan Hardy played a lot. And let's not forget either that Jordan Stout was a part of this class as a transfer. And I know that back then we weren't necessarily as focused on the portal as much, and maybe it wasn't as clear that transfer portal guys counted against your initial counters. But, you know, he goes in this class as well, Jim. And so I think you have to keep that in mind, too, that, you know, even though he didn't have his best year last year, 2 years ago, he was pretty darn good. And I think that, you know, they brought in some other guys to compete for the specialist jobs this year. And, you know, I used to be one that kind of gave James Franklin some flack for this whole thing of a guy can't kick off, punt, and be the kicker, field goal kicker. But, you know, after seeing what Jordan Stout did in all three of those areas this past year, I think he obviously is probably on to something. So, you know, that will that will be something to watch this year. If he gets more of a specialized role, how will that how will that change things moving forward?
It'll be interesting to see. The one place, and you alluded to this already, where there's an obvious miss was that wide receiver with Dunmore and T.J. Jones. Did we overrate them? I know we never really saw much of Dunmore. It seemed to be there was more going on with his transfer than met the eye.
Yeah.
How do you explain the misses there at wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, when you go into Florida, there's just times when you're not going to hit the way that you think you're supposed to hit, and that's just one of those instances. You know, you got Noah Cain, who obviously had been around Texas, Louisiana, finished his high school career in Florida, but so you get a win there. But, yeah, with Dunmore and Jones, I don't know. And it's a bummer because I was looking forward to really watching both of these guys develop this year and have a better 2021 before they each decided separately to transfer. So, yeah, that obviously hurts, and that receiver room is young, but you have Parker Washington, you have Keandre Lambert-Smith. You know, you signed some guys in the 21 class. You have a lot of receivers currently committed in 2022. So, not the end of the world, but certainly certainly you'd prefer to not have two misses like that just 2 years into that class being on campus.
Exactly. And what's interesting to me with this class, it didn't have the Micah Parsons type player. I know Brandon Smith was a five-star guy. In fact, the 2018 class was highlighted by three five-star guys. Ricky Slade, Justin Shorter did not turn out as five-star talents in college.
Right.
But this class that wasn't ranked as highly, and again, we need to see it this year, but might this class have more of a legacy that they leave behind at the college level than the 2018 class?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty safe bet at this point. I mean, you just look at what this group has already done and what we're expecting it to do this year, and then you go back to 18 and you just look and see the misses and the opt-out, things like that. So, yeah, I mean, this group would have to extremely regress to not outperform the 2018 signing class on the college football field collectively. There's just so many guys in this 19 class who we expect to be starters, and guys that could be either really big role players or end up being starters as well. So, you know, we shall see how the dust all settles. But, yeah, to me, I think there's no question that that if you're Penn State, you look at this class and say, man, we did a really nice job here. This one worked out the way we had hoped it would. And, you know, sometimes you're going to have that, and sometimes you'll have those 2018 classes where they kind of fall a little bit flat. But, you know, as long as you get more hits than misses, that's always the goal, you know, then that will help to help keep things moving forward and make sure you don't get into any bad places with depth.
Before I ask for your overall grade on this class, Greg, a couple of the three stars, just want to get you to comment on them. Smith Vilbert and Joseph Darkwa. Are we going to see them on the field? We've already seen Daquan Hardy and Marquise Wilson as three-star players contribute. How about Smith Vilbert and Darkwa?
Yeah, I think Smith Vilbert probably a little bit closer than Darkwa, but, you know, those guys don't seem to be there quite yet. I think they still need maybe another season in the weight room, in the practice rotation and things like that. So I wouldn't get your hopes too high for what you know, what those guys could contribute this year. They seem to me to be more more likely candidates to kind of break out next season. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how they got, you know, how much bigger each of them got throughout the winter and then into the spring and all that. I'm not going to rule out their opportunities to play this year, but, you know, this is an overall class, Jim, that I would give a minus to so far.
Very good. That's what I was looking for. A minus, a good ranking, and that is it for this edition of the show. Thank you all for tuning in, and make sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about sauces like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.